This week on RSPNB Update, the commuting continues as we dive into the 200-mil race for necromancy, including preparation, both mental and physical. We discuss what necromancy means for Ironmen and the future of PVM, and we get our first batch of necromancy fixes. This is RSPNB Update, episode 948, recorded Wednesday, August 16th, 2023. The Quick and the Undead. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of RSBNB Update. A little bit early this week, but I figure folks are probably still mostly working on the necromancy push, so that is just A-okay. Tanis, you're here as you are each and every week. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane. I'm still pushing myself.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a bit. We'll talk about that in a bit, where we've been, where we're going. But also joining us this week, we have two guests from the content creation side of the community. We have Iron Raxor back. Welcome aboard.
Glad to be here again. It's always fun.
Yeah, you probably remember him from the 60,000 Arch Glacier video. And, you know, the one I really enjoyed there was that one you put out directly before Necromancy release about recapping all the past skill launches.
Yeah, that was a fun one to create. Kind of a an homage to RS Will Miss It, to be honest. Tried to emulate his style a little bit. And yeah, a lot of research goes into that type of stuff.
I can
more than I would have expected.
Yeah. Also joining us is Stormy, finisher rank 12 on the Necromancy race. Welcome.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who haven't heard of me before, Stormy. Find me on RS Stormy pretty much everywhere. And yeah, last time I was here, we did the Soul Die stuff. So glad to be back for round two.
That was a good discussion on the Soul Die stuff. That was
that was a great episode.
I feel like we really got to the bottom of that there and provided a perspective that really wasn't heard yet. So
still no new one. Dies yet. So we'll wait and see.
Fingers crossed on that, right? But congrats on finishing rank 12 overall. That's quite the accomplishment. We're going to go into a bit of that in the show this week. But of course,
thank you
for folks joining us for the first time. You can follow along in the full show notes at update.show. We also have our community Discord at rsbnb.com/discord and the friends chat Bits Bytes. I can be found in game at Shane12088. Tanis is at Tanis79. Stormy, just Stormy. Wonderful name, no numbers. I love it when folks come in without numbers.
Thank you.
And also Iron Raxor, of course, in game. But before we begin and dive into that 200 mil race, I just want to thank some people for which RSBNB Update would be truly impossible, and those are the wonderful people in our experience tier. So I'd like to thank Andrew C, Drama Free, Jason S, Jesse W, Keski, Maniac RS, Ricky A, Rippeth, Seth W, and the Naked Captain. Big huge thank you to those folks, and learn more about our other Patreon offerings in just a bit at patreon.com/RSBNB. So we're going to kind of just have a bit of a discussion here on that 200 mil and rank 12. So congrats on that. I just want to open this up and lay down the discussion on this. How do you prepare for something like this? How do you prepare for a 200 mil race aside from in-game, mentally, physically, all that?
I'm going to go ahead and say you kind of can't really prepare. Like I've always done like big game sessions, all this sort of stuff. I'd never actually done a gaming session like this before. There was a lot of preparation that went into it in terms of like pretty much the week before I had moved house. So I was trying to sort out utilities like internet and stuff in my new place. And I was like so nervous about, you know, internet connection.
Am I going to have internet to even do this, right?
It was honestly so stressful. Then like there's like the food side of things. So you have to make sure like you have enough food in your house. So you don't have to leave your house and get food. Then, you know, you got to free up your schedule to make sure that you can basically play RuneScape all day, every day, uninterrupted. For me, I had took between 2 and 3 weeks of a free schedule. So that's like a sizable amount of time that you need to make sure that like every single other component of your life is kind of functioning and just going to work without you for 2 weeks. Like when I finished the race and I checked my email, I had like 100 and something emails. I was just like, oh my, like I'm never the person who like has unread emails. Like I'll check emails every single day.
Yeah.
So having 100 unread emails was just like, oh God, here we go.
So it's almost like going on vacation in that regards then and unplugging.
Kind of, yeah. Kind of. And then I obviously had the preparation as well of like convincing my girlfriend that this was like a sane thing to do.
Oh,
and that she kind of, needed to, just, you know, let me be and like, let me do my thing. And on that front, she was, just incredible. Like she was just so supportive and, yeah, without her, like even probably racing at all wouldn't have even been possible. Like the support she gave me and that was amazing. And then, yeah, just like basically making sure everybody else in my real life kind of knew that I wouldn't be contactable. So like, I basically told my mom, like, don't call me unless someone died or,
oh wow,
like, you know, I'm not going to be able to be contacted. You won't be able to get in touch with me. So only call me if it's urgent. And then other than that, everyone else, if I got called or anything during the race, I just wouldn't answer. I don't have time for it. So
it sounds like you handled the real life side of it quite well then. How did you land on the game side in terms of bones and, you know, I wonder.
Yeah, so ashes. So I actually got invited to the playtest the second time around.
Yeah, I watched
so that. I was invited to that playtest the week before. And a lot of people have obviously thrown around that the playtest had an advantage, all this sort of stuff. My preparation ended up losing me about 4 bill, roughly, even after going to the playtest and getting kind of an insight. I still lost money.
I mean, to completely demug that, somebody who wasn't even at one of the playtests is presently ranked one in the Necromancy High Scores. So there you go.
Yeah, there's that as well. And I also took the liberty as well of releasing my full playtest on YouTube, so anyone can go and watch that and see actually what I experienced, the whole entire raw unedited footage. So, the preparation, like all these, you know, shabties and stuff, catching Slayer monsters, the bones. I think I had maybe like a 10,000 stack of nearly every single bone, which equated to 6 or 7 bill. And then, you know, now we all know you only need a couple of hundred mementos and that's all you need in total. So, you know, lost a big chunk of money on bones, the subjugation, all this sort of stuff. I'm kind of glad I overbought on the subjugation side of things just in case. You know, I had like 5 or 6 sets and you only need like 6 or 7 pieces. So overbought on that side of things.
How'd you do on the ashes?
Had 0 ashes. I ended up paying, I think, because I was obviously racing, I think that the most expensive price I ever paid for a die was about 4.5 mil for a singular powerful ink.
Oh my God.
So that was, and I think at the time I bought 100 of them. So it was 450 mil for 100 ink at one point. Now you can pick up 100 ink for like a mil or 10 mil maybe. So yeah, it's like 40 times the price basically. So yeah, on the ashes front, no ashes.
I mean, if you're racing, I'd imagine you just put the money into the dies to just, you know, save that time on that end.
Yeah. Money's like not an option if you're racing specifically.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Whatever the cost is whatever you pay. If the die was 20, if the ink was 20 mil each, I would have been paying 20 mil each. So, you know, it is what it is.
The ends justify the means, right? Something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's something like that. Yep.
Okay. Iron, Tanis, any thoughts on what we've discussed so far? Is it opening up any eyes, possibilities for you guys in the future here?
Prep-wise? Yeah, I'm a bit curious. Like, I've been taking it very much on my own pace, and I've been trying to just enjoy the skill without looking at what anyone else has been doing. So I'm curious, what are like the what has been the progression path to 200 mil? Has it been mostly rituals or some combat in between?
To sum it up like really easily, it was day one combat. I logged out after hitting level 100. So basically from level 1 to 100 was primarily combat. And then the meta evolved to rituals being best in slot XP. Okay. So it was rituals from level 100 to 200 mil XP.
Is that because it just became way better at that point, or people just didn't realize how good rituals can be until...
Yeah, I think it was more of a people didn't realize how good rituals can be. I think rituals became best in slot XP probably at level 90. However, nobody really in the race tested rituals. I think maybe Dave did, I can't speak for others, but the meta, from what I could see publicly, was combat up until, you know, that 99 mark, level 100. I kind of went to sleep, woke up, and then it was rituals. Yeah. So in that
When the skill just released, I just went away, teleported from rituals straight away, went to the Slayer Tower, and just did Banshees nonstop until 55, I think, logged out, and I was rank 1 Iron Man for like half an hour. Glory.
Love it.
Yeah, got the screenshot and everything. That's all I needed.
Nice. So, go ahead, Tash.
I had a question when it came to the meta, Stormy. How surprised were you when it did change in the combat, the new combat style skill, its meta in the race turned out to be the skilling method portion of it?
I was pretty surprised, obviously, to see the shift. Like I was buckling down, you know, ready to do a 200 mil combat grind, you know, doing combat. That was 100% what I was prepared for in terms of gathering all those shabtis and planning out, you know, do I have enough adrenaline potions? Do I have enough prayer potions, enough overloads, all this kind of, stuff that I've made sure to have enough of. So yeah, super surprised, obviously, to see the combat did end up shifting to rituals, but, it was a welcome shift for me. So.
Yeah, Tanis, because you're the skiller of the bunch in producers and whatnot. I assume that's something that you were jumping up and down about when you saw that was shifting in that direction.
Yeah, but you know, ironically, when it comes to necromancy, it's been the opposite for me, right? Like because
the rituals are in my interact test. With.
Yeah, so yeah, but no, I was just curious because it's just very it's very ironic, but. You know, but also quintessential RuneScape. If RuneScape players can find a way to grind and get the best XP,
they'll do it.
We're gonna do it.
and that kind of goes to where we go next with this. Is that what's the motivation into deciding to participate in one of these 200 mil races, Stormy? Is it to just get the achievement at the end, 200 mil and a front page slot, preferably number 1, but number 12 is still pretty damn good? Or is it just something about the way of playing the game, you know, once every 2-3 years when a new skill comes out in that way?
Well, I play a lot of RuneScape anyway. Like I probably play, you know, average 5-6 kind of hours a day. And I guess like it was always kind of like a childhood dream, you know, like you grow up, looking at the high scores and you bring up the high scores and then, you know, those names on the high scores are the best. So it was kind of always like that childhood dream for me. Like one day I want to be on that front page of the high scores. So my goal was always to be on the front page. I wanted top 25 was my goal. To have finished rank 12 is like unbelievable for me. But yeah, it's definitely like it definitely comes back to just like a childhood dream basically. And
yeah, you've been playing RuneScapes. I think we talked about when you were lost on since like 2006 or something, right?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, long time. And did you, compete in any of the other, recent races, archaeology, invention, divination?
Nah, so this was the first race I was able to compete in where I had an entirely free schedule.
Okay.
With archaeology, I placed 105th. But I had other responsibilities and obligations and stuff during that time. So I wasn't able to devote my full attention to archaeology. This was my first official race.
All right, fair enough. Would you do it again?
Yeah, absolutely. without a single doubt. Absolutely. But I would not do it without my stream. No way.
The stream was
just absolutely essential for me to be able to do as well as I did. I think so.
I poked my head in there a few times. I think one of the times was when you were putting when you were in nap mode and you were letting the
there wasn't too much nap mode, so you must have caught me at a bad time. But
it was running into just right as you were going into the player on Slayer dungeon there.
That was the napping, because that's an extra 8 minutes of AFK before I get to sleep.
XP waste.
Exactly. So you basically click your mouse, get everything set up for your combat, so you can 10 minute AFK, and then you run, jump into bed, and try and fall asleep instantly while your character does, you know, its last 7-8 minutes AFK while you're sleeping.
Did you sleep in like minute intervals? How does that work?
Yeah, so it was kind of a meme actually on stream. I was actually my sleep was actually in seconds intervals. So my alarm was set through Alt-1 because I'm a speaker gamer. So I basically just muted all the alerts and everything from the stream side of things, and then cranked up my speakers right up, and then put on like that nuclear meltdown. Alt-1 alarm, which is like the super loud, obnoxious Alt-1 alarm, cranked it up to 100% volume, and then you can set like just like a lobby timer, an AFK timer, to as many seconds as you want. So my average sleep was about 12,000 seconds, which equates to 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Interesting. Okay, I never actually thought of doing it that way before. As an alarm.
Do you never like at some point? I feel like I would be so tired, I could go sleep through anything, because like. Literally, I've slept through fire alarms, I've slept through everything, so I feel like that wouldn't even work for me.
Yeah, I think it was like because I was so determined and so driven to want to race that there was no chance of me sleeping in. Because I'm sometimes like that as well, pretty deep sleeper, and you know, alarms and stuff won't wake me up. But because I knew going to sleep that I had to be up in 3 hours ready to go again, that kind of drive to do that was what made sure I woke up.
Did you ever also in the past do anything to do with lucid dreaming? Because I know that's something I've done inadvertently in the past. And with that, I know sometimes I'm actually able to wake myself up before my alarm.
Oh, I got a funny story for you guys about this.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so on the final day, the dawn of the final day, I had pretty much set my alarm for exactly 6 a.m. That just happened to be the time. Like, I wasn't ever aiming for kind of whole hours or anything like that, but my alarms just happened to be set for exactly 6. I watched back my stream, and my cats were chasing each other across the house and jumped and ran over the bed at 5:57. So... that because this happened, so it happened 3 minutes before my alarms all went off. And then I was still asleep, but I woke up about 30 seconds later, so 2 minutes before my alarm went off, ran to my computer, because like the whole idea with my stream was to basically sleep in front of the camera, wake up, and go straight to the computer. So like the travel time there is like from being asleep to being logged in was like 15 seconds. So I was on the computer 2 minutes early, and I'm in just like the full wake up daze kind of thing. And I'm like whispering into my microphone, I've slept in. Oh my God. I've slept in. And I was like freaking out. I thought my race was over. And I was just like so delusional at this point because of the lack of sleep that I didn't actually realize until about 5 minutes later that I had woken up 2 minutes early.
Okay. So thanks for the cats.
It got to about 6:05, and I'm starting to get back into the ritual site, and I'm like, hang on a second,
I'm early.
6:05. I was meant to wake up at six. why? I'm online early. And then at that point, I kind of like calmed down a little bit because I was in genuine belief that I had slept in and my race was over. Like, that's 100% what I thought had happened because I woke up without an alarm. So I was expecting to wake up to an alarm. So because I woke up without an alarm.
So did the alarm end up going off 3 minutes after you woke up then, or what happened?
Yeah,
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That must have been a shock.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely a very concerning moment, but we got through it.
And then
that last day was just insane.
Insane. Crazy. In terms of the adrenaline or just the fatigue and.
Yeah, well, both. So, okay. The adrenaline, I'd probably say more so. I think looking back on it, I'm more surprised to have seen how energetic and how efficient I was given the lack of sleep. Because I wasn't getting in any sleep, as I said. And then on this last day, I was awake for maybe 22 hours on the final stint, and by hour 20 I was going harder than what I was at hour 2 that day.
Oh wow.
So like my efficiency just kept ramping up and getting higher and higher and higher as the day went on, even though it was moving into the 20 hours kind of thing. It was pretty crazy.
How long in total did you stream for then over all the days, do you know?
123 hours.
123 hours live. Wow.
Yeah. Then out of that 123 hours, it was 11 and a half hours of total sleep with 2 4-minute naps. So the 11 and a half hours of total sleep got broken down into 3 3-hour sleeps and 1 2.5-hour sleep.
Wow. Wow. And how'd you work the 4-minute nap in then?
So that was just, I took those at points of extreme exhaustion where it's going to sound pretty lame, but there's like this, there's this tactic. It's called like Navy SEAL naps or Army naps or something like that, where you put your legs above your head when you're laying on flat on your back. So like to kind of explain it, like I put my bed up against my couch, laid on my bed and then hung my feet over my couch. So right. My legs were raised above my head. I think I'm not exactly 100% sure what it does to your body. But what I will say is that I woke up feeling a hell of a lot better than what I did 4 minutes prior. So, yeah, definitely did something.
It's got to probably be to do with probably just blood flow to the core.
Yeah, that's what I feel. Because I noticed when I was in that position, I could feel my blood flowing differently. It sounds really lame. I'd suggest if anyone who's thinking, mate, you're full of shit, just go and try it and like actually feel the way the blood flows through your body, it's actually very different to what you'd probably expect.
All right. Sounds good. And, you know, another skill comes out tomorrow. You're there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Without doubt.
All right. For the next one.
I'll be around for skill number 30. Mark my words.
So what happens now that you're 200 mil necromancy? What happens now in RuneScape? What do you do next?
At the moment I'm just chilling at Hermod, still trying to get the boss pet there. So, okay. I saw like a lot of people get the Hermod boss pet in a couple hundred kill count. Obviously I'm over 1,000 kill count for it. Still don't have it.
So
one of those situations. I'm bound to get it eventually. So it's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, yeah, just the Raziel boss log, which is, kind of what I'm off to do, today. Yeah, just go around doing all the achievements. And
you mentioned you're going to be doing another long stream starting tomorrow.
Today, yeah. So pretty much today. Directly after the podcast.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, so I'll be doing stream does not end until full Raziel log completion. So if I get lucky and get it in 500 kill count, then maybe I'll have the stream done in 24 hours. But if it takes me 2,000 kill count, I'll be streaming for 4 or 5 days again. So,
all right, twitch.tv/rsstormy. This is probably going to go out on Thursday, so head on over
I might still be live by then.
See how lucky he was or is not in that case.
Are you doing that specifically because you planned a big chunk of time and the skill is quicker than you imagined?
Yeah, pretty much. So I have like the free schedule. So I just kind of thought, you know what, I'll go on stream again. A bit more of like a relaxed kind of format this time, where I'm not kind of suffering so badly on the sleep front or the health front. Because that's the other thing as well, is like, I was going to mention the food intake for this race was crazy, because I did not have time to eat. That's how fast paced it was. So I actually weighed myself before the race and after the race. And in the 5-day racing period, I lost 3.5 kilos, which is 7 pounds for the other metric users. But, it was crazy to me to have lost that much weight.
Are you feeling any other side effects health wise then, or are you good now?
No, I did just have like the bad fatigue and stuff in the body. Okay. Like the limbs were pretty bad for a couple of days afterwards, and but pretty much back to normal now, so feeling all good.
Right on. Sounds good. And with that, I want to pivot a bit to the Ironman side of this race now. And I mean, Iron Rex, are you you said you're just taking this at your own pace, you're not racing for 200 mil. How did the skill go for you on week launch in terms of prep? Did you hit all the marks on your prep? Did you suffer the ash shortage?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I would say like the skill has been like, I really do enjoy the skill. It's been probably my favorite skill launch ever. I did race archaeology, so that was a different type of enjoyment.
Right.
Yeah, this was really good. Like, this is like the exact type of content that I like, and more of it. Specifically the combat, of course. But as far as prep goes, I didn't get that much done. I was kind of panicking because the day before I went to Elite Dungeons 3 to do, essentially, it's the best way to get the highest tier bones, and I had zero of them, as I saw the day before. And I ended up doing like 6 hours of 83 runs and didn't get a single bone until the very end. Luckily, in the end, I didn't have to use a single bone. I just used mementos all the way through, because you get a ton of them from the rituals. Like, the bones are pretty much unnecessary, at least in my experience.
Yeah.
And as far as I really can't think of anything that I didn't have, just because I am such a late stage iron, I just have stuff around. Like, for example, those corp shields, I just had like 3 of them. And the only thing I really missed was ashes, which I had like 1,000 of, and you just need more. But you can get them so quickly, it's not a huge deal. And you can,
yeah, you went to the abyss, I'd imagine, for that?
Or? Yeah, you just go to the abyss and you're still training some necromancy, so it's not a huge deal to not have a ton of it, because it's still, I mean, it's not the best in slot XP, of course, but
yeah, I'd imagine a decent XP rate. For that, you have the invention-based note paper?
Actually, it's something that you can use porters for. So you just on the Grace of the Elves, go in there for 10 minutes, and you got 500 ashes in the bank.
Okay, that works. Nice. Now, when you look at this skill, you said you've absolutely adored the skill in terms of its launch, been one of your favorites. How high have the roadblocks been? Have there been any roadblocks on the Ironman side compared to other skills that you've run through?
Well, this one's honestly reasonably Ironman friendly. People are complaining more about it than I think. I mean, like, compared to archaeology, it's night and day. The only thing you really need that is different from mains is the aforementioned ashes, and then when you're actually doing combat, the runes. That being said, I think in total you need like 2,000 ashes, which you really can get in an hour. And that is if you just do 0 to 99 and then do combat to 120, which is what I'm doing. And eventually I will run into a point where we'll need to do some rituals again. But I have about 30,000 of the new essence that I created through rituals. I have all the souls. I don't think I need to do rituals this year anymore, pretty much. So
okay.
And this is week 1, right? So like, I might be optimistic, And there might be new rituals coming out, but it's really not that bad. I do have to make the runes still, which is kind of what I'm literally doing as I speak. I'm crafting some runes for the... Because some of the incantations are really good, like Split Soul.
Absolutely.
You want to use that. But outside of that, I think the upkeep is reasonable. Some of the items might be tricky to get, like subjugation, but again, all these things I just had, I'm talking about upkeep specifically. But yeah, there might be some tricky items to get that I just had that I'm not considering, but yeah.
So a fairly Iron Man friendly skill then. And you mentioned the difference in archaeology, and of course archaeology was a brand new ecosystem with all the materials and whatnot, so that makes sense on that front. Are you happy about being able to create your own gear from the very beginning? Though I guess that's not really any different than farming it, I guess? Or how do you feel about the gear situation in terms of the power armor and the weapons?
It's a very interesting thing they did, because essentially, like to put it bluntly, within a week, I pretty much have new gear that's better than everything I had before, almost, right? Like, it's week one, and I have new tier 95s of a new skill that I had level one in the beginning of the week, right? So it's very accessible, more than any other combat style before. To an almost concerning point, I don't know exactly where, like, so the thing that I'm, well, I really, obviously, I really like necromancy for the fact that it's super accessible. And people can get into bossing, and with the Keeley's quest, which are amazing, people are doing content and pushing themselves to do things, which is great. One thing I'm curious to see, but it's kind of too early to talk about, I think, is how it affects the other styles and the way you progress through those. Because currently,
that's a big question we had last week.
Like, what I'm essentially like, the thing that I've really enjoyed playing is. The entire progression of getting better gear, and essentially with necromancy, that 3-year journey or something to get best in slot of all the gear, you can pretty much in 1 week get better gear than all of that, which is a little bit much maybe.
Yeah, I'm not an Iron Man myself. Like, I do have an iron, and I 100% could not agree more. Like, the I know that this was like a specific thing. I think Mod Ryan basically said that he didn't want to, you know, gatekeep gear. But I think we're kind of maybe pushing a boundary where, like, has he maybe taken it too far on the easy side of things?
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense, right? And that's also great. But the thing that I would have preferred, I guess, if, let's say, there was a new boss drop from a ton of other bosses that would upgrade your tier, so like it's still common drops from each boss, but you're doing a journey, and I feel like I kind of would have liked more of a thing to play through, I guess. It's very
rather than just having the gear upgrades. Is that where you're getting at?
Yeah, I mean it's okay.
Just have like an option for drops then in addition to the smithing side of it.
Like, the thing that I'm really thinking about is, from the perspective of a completely new player, you can essentially get stronger gear than all the other bosses drop in about a week or two.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is assuming you have prayers and this and stuff, so it's going to be a bit slower, but way quicker than any other style, right? And so what I'm wondering is, what is the purpose of all the other bosses once you have all that? Again, that's too early to tell, because everyone is still doing just purely necromancy for necromancy XP and the Raziel boss and stuff. But it is something that I am curious about, at least.
Yeah, I wonder how long we're going to have to wait to see that settle out. And I ask this of both of you, Iron and Stormy, because I think you guys both do more PVM than Tanis and I do. Do you see this happening in what, like a month, 2 months, 6 months? And is this a problem at all?
I think in the Manscaped side of things, we're kind of already seeing it now by like it kind of impartially due to just the extreme crash in prices for every other style. So I don't know if that's due to a lot of factors. It could be due to the GE tax maybe being overtuned. It could be due to the fact that nobody's just simply using the other combat styles at the moment, so everyone's just dumped all their weapons and armor. But I think that a definite contributing factor is, as Iron said, it's so simple and easy to get best-in-slot necromancy armor. Is the other armor as desirable anymore?
Yeah, that's a good question. Unfortunately, I don't have an answer to that, and I don't know that anybody here does. And to piggyback off this, and an interesting point of discussion, I asked one of my friends who's been away from the game since 2014, 15 or so, about this, and, you know, I said, you remember how back in the day it was so difficult to get armor and whatnot, and people are getting all the way up to, you know, tier 90s and whatnot in week one. And he was absolutely shocked at that. Unfortunately, I don't think he's going to come back and try it because he just doesn't want to do the grind side of it. But the reaction to how combat is being done differently is something I think that's definitely going to merit discussion going forward on that. So.
Yeah, and I think overall, at least in the first week, like I said, I'm slightly worried about the experience that is leveling up your gear in that has been in the game prior to this. But I've also been, But the thing that I'm saying is, like, the new experience of, like, this 1 week trip was also amazing. So I just don't know how sustainable it is for, like, a long term. MMO game, essentially.
Yeah, that's a very good point. We'll have to come back to that. What does this do, Iron, you think, for the Iron Man experience of the game? Does this kind of, like, reboot Iron Man as an option for people wanting to try it out with a new skill? Because I know there's always a discussion in the Iron Man community about has Iron Man become distilled too much? Is it too easy now? What do you think this does for your game mode?
I think it definitely makes it more fun, especially considering a lot of people, I don't typically do this, but a lot of people follow, like, a cookie cutter guide of, like, the best way to get gear, essentially.
Right.
And prior to that, it was essentially get one Krosa skill, do Krosas, and then you're invincible and you can do everything. But now it's do necromancy, and necromancy is fun, so I think it has improved it. It's also sped it up, so if you are someone who passed necromancy still wants to go for gear for other styles, then now you can very quickly get a really strong style that will allow you to do all other bosses, essentially, which should be fun, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Tanis, what have you been up to necromancy-wise and since we last talked? How's the accessibility front going? I want to go there first, because I know you mentioned that the question of an eye test briefly again.
Yeah, well, that wasn't fun either. I forget what part that was. I got to be honest, when it does come to the accessibility, you know, I enjoy the skill. I've enjoyed the launch. They tried to do something, but I think the train was leaving the station, and there was a lot more than what they thought at first, would be my guess. Or they know about it, they can only do so much.
What do you mean by that?
If I were competing, I wouldn't be competing, because the meta turned into being able to see these random events. And when I say I've never seen a random event, dude, I'm serious. I've never seen a random event.
How does that feel? How does that feel, you know, being legally blind? How does that feel in that this is a stumbling block in front of you, when I think the majority of the game is largely accessible to you, but the necromancy ritual skilling side, because the random events is not.
Yeah, well, this is kind of where you just have to, I mean, you have to be realistic about what to expect and what can be done.
Hence why you're doing combat.
Well, I'm doing combat. You know, like I said, I still enjoy the skill. Rituals for me, instead of being that XP thing, this is my production thing. Because even though I'm not an Iron Man, I do kind of like to play as close to one as I can sometimes, especially when a new system comes out like this, because that's part of the enjoyment for me, you know, is to be able to make the stuff, you know, do the stuff. And then, I mean, that's why I love this armor system, right? Like, it's, you know, it's great. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, I couldn't have competed if I wanted to. That doesn't mean they didn't think at all, right? Because they do, I think they did put a colorblind filter in. It just doesn't, I mean, that's all well and good, but the main issue is the color contrasting and
the field of view, right?
It's field of view, but that's something that you may have needed to have like an instanced area or an accessibility mode that was instanced.
Yeah, and
because it's just too much clutter.
That's actually a good point. How was the ritual field for you, Stormy, doing all these rituals in terms of, you know, I think it was only the tail end of last week that they hotfixed out a lot of the annoying crap there.
It had its moments where it was like pretty rough. I'm not legally blind and I still had some issues with certain components, like the shambling horror with his little sparkly glyph that he was walking towards. They've since obviously patched that, so it's much nicer to see now. But for the races specifically, we didn't have that luxury. We had to deal with the crappy mechanic of it. And even with, you know, good eyesight, you still could not see that thing sometimes. But in terms of like other people found out various ways to grief and all this sort of stuff. And given the fact that, you know, you're streaming, you become a target and all the rest of it. So there was a certain point where people were, you know, summoning drakes and dropping items.
The dance floors, right? Like they were covering up glyph spots.
It was a nightmare. At one point we ended up getting the RS guy into the stream and he ended up clearing some of them out. But for the most part, it was good. And I'm glad that, as I said before, I'm glad it did go down the ritual route, because I feel like for the race specifically, the combat route would have been much more griefable. If you think about if you were in an overworld scenario.
That reminds me of a story. Like I was actually at Abyssal Beasts doing some necromancy combat AFKing, and I just grab some water and I come back and some guy is luring like four Ripper demons onto me and surges away and they actually attack me, and I like barely clutched it and was like, nice try, mate. Very creative.
That was an issue. Day one combat, for example, I had like a really good spot in the wilderness there on the savages. And, you know, I would like go to the bathroom and stuff, which would take, you know, a minute. And in that minute, I would ask like a friend of mine to come and essentially hold the world so that I could kind of go AFK. Or if I like needed to go to the bank to refill potions or something like that, I would actually get someone to come and hold the world so that if people were hopping around, they wouldn't just see an empty world free to be taken. On that combat side of things was a bit different, but yeah.
Crashing Fire Giants of 2009, it is not. It is up to an entire different level with this.
Oh, yeah, and it was so busy that it was almost a meta, I guess, because like every world had like three or four people. Like you just didn't have an empty spot. So I guess that's why at that point, there are just people who want a training spot, it seems like.
Wow, that's something.
Well, I was just going to say the other like real pain spot so far for me has been the I swear I must have spent 30-40 minutes on that lake going around in circles, and I had to have it just in the right angle. I tried every skybox I could, like, and then
I was looking for the drum set.
Or looking for the little souls in the lake.
Oh, right. Okay.
Like it's just a tiny little sparkle.
Yeah, it was so hard, man. Honestly, don't blame yourself.
We had issues with that.
It was hard. Everyone had issues. Everyone in the game had issues. I don't think a single RuneScape player can say, I had no issues with the Shambling Horror. it was rough.
Yeah. So what level did you get up to, Tanis?
I'm 86 so far.
Okay. And Iron, where are you at?
I am currently 105, and I kind of stopped after 99. I'm just mostly using the style at some bosses here and there, and that's how I've gotten up to 105.
All right. As for me, I've just been busy with other things this week, but I managed to get up to 80, been doing a combination of a bit of combat, and primarily focusing on the gear upgrade side of things. I got about 5,000 souls, and then I moved onto Hermod, and I just started with that yesterday, and I'm 55 kills in, and I've got 2 plates so far.
So, either of you, Shane or Tanis, been trying to make some money off the new skill? Because I heard there were some crazy money makers with the runes, the inks, all this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's serious money to have been made, but I haven't. Because, like I said, I've been kind of just working it myself, kind of Iron style, I guess. I haven't bought anything for it. Even my preparation I did in my dungeon, you know, weeks ahead of time. I ended up with a lot of bones too. But I do have a friend that made stupid amounts of money runecrafting.
Yeah, I've heard of amounts of a bill plus runecrafting. I kind of got into it after it had calmed down, but I still made a relatively pretty penny on that. Did it for, I think, 3 or 4 hours on Sunday. So that was fun with that. And, you know, I just find that method of runecrafting actually interesting because you have all 4 altars in one place, and you can get there either by way of running up from the smithy or by using the boats. I think the boats is quicker at the end of the day for that kind of runecrafting. Iron, which way did you go? Did you use the Tomb of smithy teleport of the boats?
I have no idea what the boats are, but or how to use those.
So there's a series of boats around the city. Just click ferry and you unlock like 5 or 6 ferry points around the city, quick travel points.
So from where to where do you take it then?
From the southern tip bank up to the one by the runecrafting altar.
Yeah, I didn't know there was one. Yeah, I might have to try that.
Yeah. But all right, so that's what we've been doing with Necromancy. We're going to move on to the community feedback side of it, which was going to be a big, big deal of it and has been. But before we do that, I just want to thank our Patreon supporters for this week, making our SBNB update possible. I'd like to thank Alfie S., Amoza Reed, Andrew C., Arvids L., Chunk the Monk, Dominic R., Drama Free, Duramax, Free Milk, Jacob G, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jeebus, Jesse W, Keski, Link01, Maniac RS, Mohan V, Nate the Great, Nick G, Pernasius, Renhawk, Ricky A, Rippeth, RS Nerdherd, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Seth W, Shirtpants, The Naked Captain, The Dabbing Goat, Tim, Tom V, Ukulele Steve, and Zant. Big, big, huge thank you goes out to all of these wonderful people for making what we do here possible at RSBNB Update. It wouldn't be the same without you. So if you want to support the podcast, check us out at patreon.com/RSBNB. You can sign up for as little as $1 a month. And with that, you gain access to a back catalog of 60-plus monthly bits. Those are bonus shows at this point in time. We've done so many fun ones recently. We talked about our year tier list. We did our hypothetical archaeology mini sites, but then we also got classics as well, going back in time as well, like a history of holiday events, and of course the skill tier list and PVM boss tier list as well. You get access to all those for as little as $1 a month. Then we have the VIP tier. For $3 a month, we receive a special shout out on the podcast at the start of the month, in addition to high quality stereo versions of the show. And if you want to give the ultimate gift, you can sign up for our insider tier. For $5 a month, we receive a shout out on the podcast each and every week. And you also gain access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. And you also get a special RSBNB update Christmas card in December. So if you want to help support your favorite podcast, just head on over to patreon.com/RSBNB. Thanks so much, everyone. All right. So how do we feel about how Jagex has responded to the community feedback here? Let's start with you, Stormy. How do you feel that their actions have been on just, you know, moving quickly on pain points and such?
Yeah, I've got like a lot of praise for CM team at the moment. They're doing like a really fantastic job compared to years past, so it's really good to see, you know, our community mods, you know, doing a really good job and getting onto these things. Obviously, that the blog that they've just brought out with hundreds of known issues.
Yeah.
I'm kind of trying to think back if we ever really had anything like that before, and I don't really think we have.
No.
No. And then you've also got the fact that, you know, this month is a dedicated development time slot for our developers to fix the issues. And that's primarily based off player feedback. So with an update as big as this and as impactful as this, there's obviously going to be considerable amount of issues, which we've identified. And now the devs have been permitted to have a whole entire month to fix those issues. And I think that in terms of like a development point of view and for like player satisfaction, that's probably quite literally the best case scenario. So, I think Jagex and the individual mods are doing a really good job at the moment.
Yeah, right on. Tanis, what do you think after we got this list here? And we're going to be getting more lists as the weeks go by.
Oh, I'm actually, yeah, I agree with Stormy. Like, the CM team's done really well. This is the most reactive I think we've ever seen with a skill launch. And that's so important, especially with a new combat style like this, because we've seen what can happen if you leave
things wrong. Yeah.
Well, but if you leave things in combat that aren't intended, then the next thing you know, you can never ever remove them because someone's figured out a way to use it for advantage. And then it becomes meta, and now you can't ever, ever touch it ever again. So it's best to do this stuff and be reactive now.
Yeah, and also, you know, full transparency too, which is, we talked with Mod Doom about what was going to be the path going forward. And I think this is the ultimate evolution of that. Iron, do you have any thoughts here on this huge list of things that we saw?
Yeah, I mean, it's put together by Mod Doom, right? And he's just been killing it, to be honest. He always knows when to make things funny, when to put in a meme here and there, but also when like there's like a serious issue, he does take it seriously and like passes it on to the team and all this stuff. So huge shout out to him. He's been doing great work since he joined.
Yeah, and to just go through some of these things, last week they said they were investigating the changes to overload potions and how they affected combat abilities, and we'll see in the patch notes that they actually reverted that change on that. They're continuing to monitor the adrenaline cost and use of abilities, which I think is interesting. I haven't really felt that to be much of a stumbling block with necromancy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it depends on what you do with it, but like there are some points where it feels like in like a typical necromancy rotation, you'll be very much dumping out a ton of damage with like death skulls and the ultimate. And then at some point after that, because you also spawned all your minions before then, and at some point after that, you'll run out of everything. Like, you don't have adrenaline, you don't have anything, and now you need to summon your minions, and those cost adrenaline, and you feel very starved. Okay. And I guess that's kind of what they're looking into.
Yeah, so probably down rather than up in terms of usage then.
If you go look at the actual ability tooltips and read through everything, there's only three abilities that generate adrenaline.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too, but that's kind of a design, well, like the way they talked about this at some point, but the way you have a ton of basic abilities essentially in other combat styles, while you only ever use the one optimal one, that's kind of what necromancy is trying to do with that. you only need the three essentially. So like the basic, like if you don't have anything better available, they want you to use that basic attack that gives you the adrenaline.
Yeah, fair enough.
They're also going to be looking at making one of the Nihils to be available for necromancy, which I guess makes sense given the fact that it's a very popular summoning familiar for Nex and whatnot.
That should be easy enough, I imagine. Because
yeah, just changing combat
styles. Isn't there a Nihil that drops two separate things that can be created into Mage Nihils?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And this is something I'm actually looking forward to here. They're looking into a better way of displaying necrosis on players because, you know, residual souls, you have the three dots above your head, but with necrosis, you got to go down to your buff bar. I definitely could make advantage of that one. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously agree with that. That's like a huge thing that will be beneficial for players getting into things. At some point, I guess you get used to just like kind of having an idea of what you have internally, but like obviously that's not a great way to design things.
I think the biggest thing they can do in terms of this is just devote some time to allow players to do custom buff bar ordering.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And then, you know, we can kind of slot in what we want on our buff bar based off what our own priorities are.
Yeah, and see, in other games that I play, when you have that builder consumer style gameplay with the necrosis and the souls, those are their own separate UI components that are displayed prominently, and that's been something that I've been missing, and I guess something on the buff bar could play into
that. I personally don't particularly like the buff bar at all to begin with.
That's a hot take.
Do you have an alternative, or
it is tricky. Like, but like for example, the souls are on the buff bar, but are you ever looking at them on the buff bar? Like, there's better ways to display things, but they require their own unique thing for each thing, which is not exactly viable when you have 30 things on a buff bar. So I get why it's there. It's also an easy way to add new ones quicker, but I don't particularly like it as a UI element. I tend to, at some point, just intuit the things that are on there and never look at them again.
What about opening up Raziel to duo and trio encounters? That's something that they're looking at. That's interesting. Obviously, it was designed as a solo boss, but people want the two and three option.
I wonder if they'll scale it like they have.
I think you'd have bosses. To. You'd have to, probably,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
to.
I mean, Hermod scales. You can do that and do in three, and it just kind of gets more HP. So I would assume, like, the easy... I kind of was surprised that Raziel wasn't when I was... Because I literally asked someone, oh, anyone want to do a Raziel? And then it's a solo boss. I'm like, what? But I guess that's an option, but I feel like if they wanted to go that route, they might have already done that, because it's... that's what they did with Hermod, so maybe they'll do something more interesting, but I guess we'll see.
They're also looking at giving you maybe a choice about if you want your command abilities to be triggered when using Revolution, and right now, of course, they are, and it makes sense why you might not want them to be, so that's a good one to put a bookmark in. But overall, looking at this entire list here, a lot of these things are still being looked at. Pretty much everything that was in the awaiting patch category made it into this week's patch notes. What was in Resolve looks to be the hot fixes we got last week, and closed as things that either can't be done or things that were just smashed relatively quickly as well. So... like we said at the start, right on with the community stuff there. But I want to go through some of the general patch notes from this week for Necromancy, and in particular, starting off with XP lamps after completing the City of Area task sets. If you did that in the first week, you weren't able to use those lamps on Necromancy. Now you can, and all you have to do is go back to talk to the Taskmaster in and you'll get those two lamps again, and you can put them back on Necromancy.
Wait, you can get them a second time?
Yeah, if you use them the first time, you can get them a second time to use on necromancy.
And can you then again put them on a non-necromancy skill?
Yeah.
Yep.
More agility XP in school.
Okay, so that's what you used yours.
I've heard that exact same thing from other Iron Men as well. They're like, I ain't putting these lamps on necromancy. We put that on herb lore or agility or something like that.
Necromancy's so free.
Well, I guess
it's
we
fun
know,
to train.
I guess we know what Iron Raxor is doing after this runecrafting run.
Yeah, I might do it right now.
They also have added pop-ups at level 30 necromancy explaining alteration glyphs, and at level 60 necromancy explaining larger ritual sites. And this was one of our main pain points last week, is that neither of these things were onboarded in any of the quests or when you hit those appropriate levels. So that's good. And a big one on the UX side, when you hover over input items in the ritual selection interface, a tooltip will now display the amount that you have in your focus storage and backpack. That's good. And you also get chat messages in the chat box when an object is used from focus storage, when an item is removed from the pedestal, and when a ritual is complete, detailing the rewards. And they're in the bright green text, so you have that level of feedback as well. They also made it so that the space bar works to select a ritual in the ritual selection interface, which is something I feel like a lot of us just went and used because we're so accustomed to the MakeX interface. Obviously, this isn't the MakeX interface we know, but it's the same genuine intuition that you press spacebar when it's time to go. So I'm glad they put that in. And they reapplied the damage buff from the stat boosting effects of the overload potion while the team looks at a more elegant replacement for this system. How I have a question for you guys here. When did you guys find out that this was a thing, that overloads provided an extra boost in addition to the numerical stat increase?
I knew that it was a thing for a long time, but I didn't really understand the ramifications of it until just recently, when it was such a big deal.
That it was making somebody who was boosted to 99 be more effective than an actual 99 player, as an example.
Right, exactly, yeah. So, yeah, very interesting, peculiar kind of mechanic, I guess.
Yeah, I think I first became aware of that in one of Mod Pie's last streams before he left, and obviously it wasn't to the degree that we thought, like we were just talking about with this, but in that they were providing some extra boost on top of that, which is just quirky when you get into the way all these systems work under the hood. Placing a conjure ability at the start of your revolution bar will no longer prevent other abilities on your bar from being triggered. Good. They also changed the My Zombie Can Beat Up Your Zombie from the medium task set to be My Undead Can Beat Up Your Undead. They also made the requirements wider so that you can now go to the entire Varrock sewers and Edgeveal dungeon rather than just the Edgeveal dungeon. And they made it easier to complete for high-level players, because high-level players will know that if you took your zombie friend in there, there was a chance that you just wind up killing the zombie or the skeleton before you were able to summon it. So they managed to clean that out a bit. So that one was just difficult.
When I read that patch note of the renaming, I'm like, I was wondering, is there like a lore reason? Like, does RuneScape not have zombies? But they do, don't they?
Yeah,
like,
we do.
Why
we
is
do.
It renamed?
It's just, you know, to use any undead conjure on anything that's undead in the Varrock sewers or Edgeveal dungeon.
Okay.
That's the extent of it. Yeah. And they also have made a notification pop up in your text boxes now whenever one of the random events spawns in the ritual site, which is a huge help, I find, on that. So, I don't know, maybe you could hook some kind of alert into Alt-1 with that, Tanis.
Yeah, I've actually seen that alert pop up, but I still can't find the object. Yeah.
Okay.
I started noticing that this week, actually. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Overall, how do we feel about these patch notes? We happy with what we got here in the first week?
Yeah. I'm happy. Yeah. Keep them coming.
I feel like for this week, usually I I'm very on top of what the patch notes are, and this time I didn't really, because the update is just so big. I'm still too busy with the content to really look deep into what the patch notes are. I don't know. I feel like there's enough content that they have some room to breathe, but there's a lot of patches, which is obviously great to see. A lot of fixes, all this kind of stuff. Yeah. Really smooths it out for everyone.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to a matter of account security then. There was this post that appeared on the RuneScape webpage, concerns regarding character linking. And at first, there was a question of whether or not this was actually true, because it came from a rather questionable source. I'm not going to mention what the source was on air here, but the news post reads, "We were made aware of an issue that allowed players' characters to be targeted via Steam and Amazon account linking through malicious links shared on social media. The issue occurs at the RuneScape character level and is not related to Jagex accounts, so as a purely cautionary measure in the interest of account security, they have temporarily disabled the ability for players to link RuneScape characters to Steam and Amazon until further notice. There is no evidence to suggest that this impacted a large number of players, but the team are currently working to identify any accounts that have been impacted by this, and they will reach out to individuals directly, meaning you should not need to contact Jagex. They are also exploring options available to return any items that might have been lost because of this. And once they're fairly certain this can't happen again, they'll look at re-enabling that linking feature." And then they say, "Characters that currently are linked to Steam are still able to log into the game. If you're unsure what third-party services your account is linked to, or if you would like to unlink your account from any third-party services, you can find more information about that in their support page." This is all rather obscure, and I guess what we'll say is that I wonder how many people were bit by this in terms of clicking some of these very suspicious links that were floating around on social media.
Yeah, until Jagex comes out with an actual statement saying X amount of people were affected,
yeah,
I'm kind of on the fence on this. Even though they've gone ahead and deactivated the, whatever they said they deactivated, the ability to link X and X or whatever, even though they've gone ahead and done that, right, even though they've gone ahead and done that, it's, they said it themselves, it's a precautionary thing while they investigate it. So, like, that's, in my eyes, that's not a, yes, this was an issue. That's a, we're doing this just in case there is an issue.
And then it raises the question, if the people who flagged this show that this wasn't actually true, what happens to them at the end of the day, right?
Nothing's going to end up happening to them. It's
social
media, so you know, it's just the little boy who cried wolf, isn't it?
That we know how those stories go, don't we?
Anyway, we'll see. I guess we'll see. I don't want to completely say that it's untrue. It could very well be a very legitimate claim. So until Jagex come out and say that it is a legitimate claim, I'm just sitting on the fence.
Yeah, and you know, as with everything in the last 18 months or so related to Jagex accounts, things have leveled up in relation to account security and what the tech is going on behind the scenes with this. So I trust the team to be able to put together something relatively quickly, and we'll probably hear about this come Monday or so, if not sooner, about what actually happened here, if anything, and whether or not Steam and Amazon are going to be
good to go. I saw the only info I got on this, so I'm not sure how reputable this is or if they got it correctly or not, but if you know the RuneScape Chronicles channel, it's like a community-based daily recap of news and streamers and stuff for old school. They also talked about this because obviously the account systems for old school and RS3 are shared. So they also had this same thing. And from what they reported, it was essentially you could get an official link from Jagex, from like the Jagex launcher thing, that is essentially a link that would allow you to link an existing non-Jagex character to your Jagex account. So basically, people who did not have a Jagex account would be able to have their account linked to someone else who set that link up, essentially. Like, by clicking that link, they would lose, like, their character would suddenly be linked to that JGX account. I'm not sure how accurate that is, or if that is actually what happened, but if that is true, I guess more reason to have a JGX account.
And it just
seems to me like so, it seems to me like so, like, convoluted, yeah. Because if I wanted to, like, link a character to my JGX account right now, I'd have to jump to, like, 350 hoops. Do you know what I mean? Like, simply sending a link to somebody seems to me like such a... Like, I'm not saying it's untrue. I don't want to absolutely spread the fact that it's untrue or anything. It could very well be a thing. But it just seems so unbelievable to me that it's as simple as just sending a link and your account's gone.
It's also probably not a link that you can... it might be like the final step link somehow that gets generated. Like, I don't know how that is set up, of course. Like, yeah. Things slip through the cracks all the time. So I'm not sure how that... I guess we'll find out when we hear more about this, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, it's just interesting.
Like, I've never understood that. At the end of the day, you clean someone's RuneScape account out. Okay. That translates into what?
Money.
Financially? Yeah, but how much? And how much work did you go through to try to set this scam up? Like, I don't know. It just seems
there are countries where this is a viable living, unfortunate to say.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it goes back, I think, to a foundation of just good internet security. And this is something I always tell people in relation to RuneScape or anything. If you didn't ask for that link that you were sent in email or on social media, even, or very important this day and age on Discord, if you didn't ask for that link, don't click it. And even if you know the person who is sending it to you, double check twice about exactly what's going on with that. And, you know, I was actually taken way back in history. I don't know if any of you guys remember this, but it was 20 years ago this week in 2003 that the MS Blaster Worm went on to the scene with Windows XP. Anybody remember that?
Shane, I was 5 years old.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, no, you lost me on that one, mate, sorry.
Okay, well, what this was this was a worm that could get installed on everybody's Windows XP computers, and you could have it installed by just clicking a malicious link that was sent in the case on email. And what it would do is it would use the system messaging service to send out spam from your computer to Windows XP computers across the internet. There is this service in Windows XP that you could just send a message to any computer on the internet if you knew its IP address, and it would pop up as a dialogue box on that screen. And that's what this worm was all about. So a bit of internet history there and the importance to not click on links. So, alrighty. Well, that pretty much brings us to the end of our core content here today at Update. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this step into 200 mil and Iron Man. But we do have some achievements of the week to go through. So I'm going to start us off with our first run on August 15th. Avocado owned 99 necromancy. We're going to be seeing a lot of these. Forex with 99 farming, Keski with 99 necromancy, Niard with 99 mining, Shane Remy with 99 necromancy, and Sio Aces with 99 necromancy as well. They're starting to stack up.
And then we have Chok Barrage with a little throwback to the previous skill, 99 archaeology, Loathes with 99 fishing, Woody One with 99 necromancy, Xenon Ray with 99 necromancy, FE Supercha with 99 necromancy as well. Hyacliff, 99 necromancy. Loads with 99 archaeology and also 99 woodcutting.
Right on.
All right.
Then we have Popo with 99 necromancy on the 13th. We have Samurai Jack with 99 necromancy also on the 13th. We have Sparty Pants with 99 necromancy, also on the 13th. We have Borizzi with 99 constitution, August 12th, probably while training necromancy. Thieves with 99 necromancy on the 12th.
Sensing a trend here.
And Tostock Rex with 99 necromancy on the 12th.
Alrighty, and last but not least, we have Lady Claw, 120 Hunter. That was on August 11th. And our 99 Necromancers are Mad Digger, Mr. Jingles, Omega, cool name, and Quests Are Shit, not cool name. Quests Are Shit, you can DM me anytime. We'll have words.
Okay, oh, I got a fun story for you about that member. Quests Are Shit was somebody who was actually recruited into Clan Quest in our community on Archaeology Launch Day, specifically into Clan Quest. He was recruited into Clan Quest, and if he's fully leaned into the joke, and if you examine him, it says, "I have infiltrated a clan of questers. They believe I am one of them." And he has actually gone on and got Master Quest Cape.
That is fantastic. Props to that guy, honestly.
I know. It's just these kind of names you run into in this community, and you know, you strike up a conversation with them, and oh, you've got an interesting name. You want to join a questing clan? And we made an impression, and it just stuck. So.
But didn't you guys think it was a practical joke?
Yeah, we thought it was a practical joke because Earth was the one who recruited him.
Well, that explains it.
All right. Pick of the week. Stormy, what do you got for us?
So my pick of the week is something that I haven't actually watched yet, but I'm about to. Finally, on one of my streaming services, Top Gun Maverick has appeared. So for any of our Top Gun fans, the original was obviously a banger, and I suspect Maverick will be just as good. So you can probably find that on one of your streaming services now to watch for free. Get around Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one yet, but I've heard great things about it. And I'm always leery with sequels because you make that step of something that was, you know, just such a celebrated original. You question, can they do it again and whatnot? So I've always just got that little bit of doubt in my mind about that.
If it wasn't Tom Cruise, I would not have recommended it.
Okay.
The only way I'm watching it is because Tom Cruise is still the main guy. So.
Yeah, he makes good movies. He makes good movies with that. So
it's a good pick of the week. I was there on my birthday, so I don't think that was long after release. It's a good pick.
Good to hear. Good to hear. All right. Well, we're gonna wrap this show up. So just a reminder, of course, you can get update on all your favorite podcasting platforms out there. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google, Pocket Casts, Spotify, and more. Just visit update.show/subscribe. And we're also on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB. That's where we post the video versions of the shows and the nibbles each and every week. If you like the show, like and subscribe. Greatly helps the channel out, Stormy, anything else you'd like to say before we go?
I did just want to touch on one thing really quickly, just because I didn't get a chance before. I've already gone ahead and thanked like a whole bunch of people for all their involvement and everything with my race, but just a quick shout out on here. I won't go through the names and everything. They know who they are, but I can say absolutely definitively there are countless people out there who, without their help, I would not have achieved the rank that I achieved. So if any one of those is listening, thank you. I can't thank you enough. And it's been an absolute dream come true. So thank you, everyone.
Right on. And, you know, I think that just underscores how wonderful this community is. And I'm so glad that you had such a good experience with this and are jumping at the bit to do it again with the next skill. And I just think that speaks volumes of our RuneScape community.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. How about you, Iron Raxer? Anything before we go? Any upcoming projects you want to tease?
I mean, currently I am working on... I'm mainly focusing on the gameplay side of things, but I'm working on the Raziel boss video. I've done boss videos on Gladecore, Krill, and Corp up until this point, and this one's going to be the biggest one by far.
I can't wait to see what the intro looks like.
Production value goes. Yeah, that intro I have been working on since Raziel was revealed to be a character. So, a while. So, it is going to be my biggest intro thing that I've made so far. pretty excited about that. But first, I got to do about 1,000 Resi LKs here or something.
Oh, my. Well, have fun with that. And, of course, you can find them, Iron Raxors on YouTube, at Iron Raxor, Stormy's on Twitch, at RS Stormy. And I won't be here next week. I'm leaving you in the capable hands of Tanis, Earth, and Taxi. I'm going on vacation, and they're going to do the show without me. So it's going to be an interesting one next week. I don't know what they're going to do, but I will be back in 2 weeks. So see you then, everybody. Take care.
See ya.